Today on More to Life, Father's Day. Being a father is a tough job. Men need good, godly models. We're going to celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph today by helping men be great dads. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy Feast of St. Joseph to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And on this Feast of St. Joseph, we are celebrating a Catholic Father's Day by being there for the dads who want to be fathers after the Father's own heart and who want to take as their model St. Joseph. We'd also like to support all the ladies out there who want to know how to support their husbands in being the godly fathers that they're meant to be. And all listeners in help in addressing issues in their relationships with their dads. So we are looking at fatherhood from all sides today on this Feast of St. Joseph. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And again, men, tell us what challenges you face in trying to be the father you'd like to be. Ladies, what challenges do you face as you try to support your husband in being a good dad? Likewise, if you're a listener who'd like to heal your relationship or address issues in your relationship with your father, give us a call, whatever the situation is. We want to celebrate this Feast of St. Joseph by supporting men in the call to be great, godly dads. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I just think that we're so blessed. You know, this is the Feast of St. Joseph in the year of St. Joseph. And it's such a beautiful time to reflect on this amazing saint, this man who raised Jesus, who loved and protected Our Lady, and most of all, was so perfectly responsive to God. You know, when he found out that Mary was with child, his immediate reaction was to be respectful and caring, but to divorce her, you know, to break the path
betrothal,
that they
yeah.
were on, they, you know, translated as divorce in our scriptures, because he thought it was the right thing to do according to the norms of the day in Judaic law. But he didn't get bound up in the law. He was bound to God, and God could be heard clearly by him, both when he was awake and asleep. You know, when God tells him to flee into Egypt, to get up and go.
In a dream.
You know, this is a man whose heart and whose mind was constantly looking to please God and to hear God. And God knew that and said, this is the man that I want to be the earthly mentor and role model to my son and to raise him. And isn't that the way we each want to be? We all want to have the eyes to see God, the ears to hear him, the heart to be responsive, the mind to comprehend what he's asking us to do. And there's no more important model right now in our society. Men are sidelined so hardcore. I mean, and honestly, it's been happening a long time, right? I remember being a small child and like playing house with my friends. And it was the girls who would play house and play with our baby dolls, and the boys weren't really around very much. And that was fine with us because it was like, okay, the moms do this and the dads are just kind of a myth, you know? And we didn't really learn how to have marriages or how to bring the dad into the equation of the family and the home. And in the face of feminist culture and everything else, men have been sidelined. They are not taught how to be dads. They don't know what their role is. They're often taught you know, that it's feminine to pray, and so they don't even really know how to do that. Well, there's never been a time that men need support more and support in being fathers.
Well, and it is hard to find godly models for fatherhood. And so that's what we're looking at today. You know, how can St. Joseph inspire all of us men to be the fathers that we want to be, that God the Father is calling us to be, that our wives and children need us to be. So we're asking you, men in particular, what challenges do you face in trying to be that great dad that you want to be? And women, you know, what challenges do you face as you try to support your husband in being a good dad? And I should also say, you know, maybe your ex-husband.
Yeah, I was going to say your children's father, because there are many of us who don't have the blessing of having the children's father living under our roof, actively parenting with us all the time for a myriad of reasons.
But we're here for you, too, and or any of our listeners who are struggling in their relationship with their father.
And isn't that so difficult? And it's one of the reasons we want to, and I think that the Pope has made this the year of St. Joseph as well, because many of us have had fathers who have not reflected the love of God our Father in a way that is truly reflective of who God is as our Father. When we talk about the Trinity and we get to God the Father, a lot of us quake. A lot of us are okay with Jesus. We're great with the Holy Spirit. But when we talk about God the Father, we're like, I don't know how to interpret that because of our human experience of father figures in our lives.
Well, and even the Catechism points out that parents, in particular, both moms and dads, but fathers in particular, have a special ministry to show the face of God to their children, to be the face of God for their children, especially in those earliest years. And, you know, in our work, in both in Parenting with Grace and in our book Discovering God Together, which is all about raising faithful kids, you know, we talk about, you know, how do you create that sort of dynamic in the home that allows your kids to experience God's love through the way you parent? And particularly for dads, I unpack that in my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, which looks at each of the 8 Beatitudes for how it reveals something about the fatherhood of God and how we as Catholic men can be inspired by each of the Beatitudes to be fathers after the Father's own heart. We're going to be unpacking some of those lessons on today's program when we want to hear from you. What challenges, men, do you face in being the father that you want to be, the father that your kids need you to be, that your wife wants you to be, that you long to be, and that the Father, God the Father, needs you to be? Women, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children to be the man and the dad that he needs to be?
Or to support your children because that dad is falling short in some way or isn't as present in their lives as he needs to be or isn't as present in the right ways. And you're saying, how do I do this? How do I deal with my children's situation and give them what they really need?
877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're celebrating St. Joseph's feast day today in this year of St. Joseph by focusing on fatherhood and how to be fathers after the Father's own heart. Well, every day on the show we look at what the theology of the body can teach us about the topic of the day. And, you know, St. John Paul, his insights in the theology of the body, I think, can teach us a lot about this topic.
Oh, it certainly can. This was very dear to his heart. Excuse me. And the theology of the body really reminds us that men and women are complementary to each other. God's created subtle but very important differences into the bodies of men and women to allow them to give different gifts to their children. For instance, while the presence of a loving mother stimulates the stress management centers of the baby's brain, the presence of a loving father stimulates the centers of the baby's brain that regulate aggression.
And that's really interesting. You know, the research shows that exactly what you were just saying, that when a mom is loving and present, it helps babies re-regulate and calm down from stress. When a dad is physically present, just his physical presence stimulates the parts of the baby's brain that help them regulate aggression. Research also shows that children of involved fathers tend to have better vocabularies because, generally speaking, dads tend to use less baby talk with kids. And although the baby talk that moms use allow children to speak more quickly, the absence of baby talk or the decreased presence of baby talk that dads
or just
give,
even the increased presence of normal adult speech,
there you go, yeah.
Let's put it
gives
that
kids
way.
A better vocabulary. And of course, while faithful moms help lay the foundation of their children's faith and basic moral reasoning, faithful dads increase the likelihood that their children will know how to live their faith and morals in the world and take their faith into adulthood. And I just, you know, for listeners who have heard, you know, we do a little blurb about this on the pop-ups at the halfway point of the show, but many of you have heard the research that talks about how when just mom is faithful, kids tend not to own their faith as adults, but when dads are faithful, there's a much greater chance that they will. And a lot of moms despair about this, or they even will say,
"It's crushing."
They'll even say, "Well, what's the point? You know, what role do I play in this?" And the way we like to explain it is that spiritually speaking, moms pack their kids' spiritual lunch, but dads make sure their kids take it to school. And what I mean by that is that because for the first couple of years of life, the child doesn't really know that they're separate from mom or that mom is separate from them, the things that mom does just unconsciously tends to dictate personal behavior. So if mom is faithful, it tends to dictate my own personal spirituality. You see a lot of people, for example, who today are spiritual but not religious. Generally speaking, those folks were raised in households where mom was religious but dad was not, because they have a personal experience of faith or spirituality, but they don't know how to take it out in the world. Dad, on the other hand, is first other.
Yes.
And because so dad represents the world to a child, and so dad's behavior tends to predict how the kid will behave out in the world.
And I have to say, this is even true when both parents are working from the child's infancy. This isn't just like a pre-working women model, because even if your child is in the care of a loving relative or in a daycare situation, the child knows there's a less permanent situation there. He or she does not relate to those caregivers the way one would relate to an actual parent. And even if mom's out there working, the biology of the baby is, I'm seeking mom for comfort, for food, for security. And dad is this really trusted first other in my life. And so he'll always, precognitively represent that. That dynamic will be there no matter what the parent's working situation is.
Yeah, the upshot is that moms and dads both matter. And the theology of the body highlights the importance of the role of both mother and father. And today we're celebrating that role of father on this Feast of St. Joseph and inviting you to call up and share your questions about being a great godly dad, supporting the father of your children and being a great godly dad, or, healing the relationship that you have with your own father, if there are issues or questions there. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the gift of children, and we ask that you would inspire all of us to parent your children in ways that reveal your loving face to them. We thank you for the gift of your servant, St. Joseph, who was the foster father of Jesus and raised your son to develop all the human characteristics that enabled him to be everything that you wanted him to be in your gift to us. We ask that we would be inspired to be men after your own heart, to be fathers after your own heart, and that we would know how to support the men in our lives in being godly, grace-filled fathers. On this Feast of St. Joseph, we pray for St. Joseph's intercession, that we could all reveal God to our families the way St. Joseph did. And we ask for your prayers and intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're celebrating Father's Day by celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What's up today?
Actually, it was pretty amazing that you guys are talking about actually something that I've been struggling with today specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 15-year-old who's almost 16, actually, and he's the oldest of our family.
Okay. And how many kids do you have altogether, then?
So we have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, specifically, he is struggling with his relationship with his father. And he just
Is this your husband? It's his father, or who is his father? Okay.
Yeah, my husband.
And you guys are okay. And you guys are married.
Yes, and my husband is a really, really good dad. He is very supportive of our family. He is a good Catholic. He works very hard for his family. He's a wonderful, wonderful husband.
Mm-hmm. So where's the issue?
But he's very hard.
Yeah.
He was.
So
he's really hard on my son, and he just really has high expectations, which I think is completely reasonable. But my son just feels like his dad is never happy with him and is very, he just feels like he's just never good enough.
And so has your son communicated that to your husband, or have you communicated that to your husband? How aware of that dynamic is your husband, and how does he respond to that?
Yes, my husband does understand, and we have talked about it, but, you know, he's like pretty stern about it. He's like, well, you know, he just has high expectations, and which,
well,
like
but here's the thing: there's a difference between you can have high expectations. There's nothing wrong with that, but having high expectations does not mean that we have to browbeat our kids.
We want them to meet our expectations. We need to bring them along in a mentoring way.
So let me ask you this: what's your husband's relationship with his father?
Not very good, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, that's actually your way in. All right. So I would like, you know, why is your husband's relationship poor with his father?
I don't think his parents were very supportive of him when he was growing up, and they just didn't have a very good, loving relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to your husband and say, you know, I really appreciate that you have high expectations for our son. I think that's wonderful. But I want to ask you just for a second, how did your dad handle you when you let him down or when you weren't living up to what he thought was your potential? Number one. So that's the first question. Write that down. How did your dad deal with you when you weren't living up to his expectations? Number two, did the way your dad handled you when you weren't living up to his expectations make you feel closer to him, make you feel afraid of him, make you feel angry toward him? What did it make you do? Question number three, do you want our son to feel the same way about you as you feel about your father? Question number four, if not, how do you think you need to handle this differently? Because your dad had high expectations for you, but the way he went about it drove you away from him. How do you think that you can handle having high expectations for our son in a way that draws him closer to you and doesn't give him the same relationship with you that you have with your dad? That's what I want you to walk him through. Okay? And I also want you to get him a copy of the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, because you say that he's a faithful Catholic father. So I want you guys to go through the book actually together. And I'd like you both to really prayerfully reflect on what does it mean to be a father after the Father's own heart. The Heavenly Father has infinitely high expectations for us. Jesus Christ said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. There ain't no higher expectations than perfection. And yet, God helps us to achieve those expectations in the most gentle, loving ways possible that draw us into deep communion with Him. We need to identify with how to have those expectations in manners that don't alienate our children, but actually draw us to Him and to God.
And Michelle, I want you to do this because not only will it help your son, will it help the relationship between your son and his father, but this is going to heal generational pain, and this is going to help your husband to become the godly, loving man God wants him to be, but it will also heal your husband's relationship with God the Father as well. So this is a win-win-win all around.
So those four questions. Number one, how did your dad deal with you when you let him down or didn't live up to his expectations? Number two, how did that make you feel? Did it make you feel closer to your dad? Did it make you feel afraid of him? Did it make you feel angry toward him? Did it draw you closer or pull you away? Number three, do you want to have the same relationship with our son that you had with your dad? And number four, if not, how do you need to have high expectations and express those expectations in a way that will draw our son closer to you, unlike what your father did? And then, as I said, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad is a great follow-up to that. You can find that at CatholicCounselors.com. The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. We've got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about fathers on this Feast of St. Joseph. We'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who's going to share ways that moms can support the fathers of their children in being the dads God wants them to be. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Curo have partnered with one of the country's leading healthcare ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered healthcare. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are celebrating celebrating St. Joseph's Feast Day by talking about what it takes to be a godly dad. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, who is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Lisa.
So glad to celebrate St. Joseph's Feast Day with you. Now, Rachel, you've had an 11-child learning curve with your husband on how to help Matt be the dad that he's called to be by God. And it's been a learning curve because that's a lot of stuff going on. Tell us your wisdom here, what you've learned over the years.
Well, the first thing I had to learn this early on, is share the playbook with your husband. That's a sports analogy for all of our husbands who are into football or baseball. But too often, as the moms, especially if we are at-home moms, we know a lot of things that are going on in the house and a lot of things about our kids that we don't share with our husbands. we either expect them to learn it on their own or read our minds. And what I need to do is bring Matt up to speed about where our kids are, what's going on in their lives that he might have missed, the conversation that only I heard because I was driving them to and from their job. Matt wants to know what's going on in our kids' lives, but sometimes I'm the conduit of that information so that then he can talk to them, him, themselves, when he gets a chance.
That's so important to learn. We try to stake out our territory. Give us one more nugget in the 60 seconds we have left with you.
Please compliment your husband in front of your children. Tell him how important he is to you, to your marriage. Say what a great daddy is truthfully and honestly in front of your kids. Be affectionate with him so that they can see the love that you two have together is an aspiration for their families, their future spouses. Let our husbands know how much we appreciate the hard work they do, but let our kids know as well.
Oh, that is so important because we have to let them have something to aim for if we want them to grow up to have great Catholic families. So thank you
exactly.
So much, Rachel.
Really appreciate your insights, Rachel. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, they can go to BeholdPublications.com. BeholdPublications.com. Blessings to you and the whole Watkins clan on this Feast of St. Joseph. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Men, tell us what challenges you face in trying to be the father that you want to be. Women, what challenges do you face in trying to support the father of your kids to be a great godly dad? And if you're a listener who'd like to heal your relationship with your dad, give us a call. We're here celebrating fathers on this St. Joseph's Feast Day, 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owners insurance, and a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. So have a lot of their children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us, and all the generations who will.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we are celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph and our show titled Father's Day, as we talk about all the challenges that men face in being great godly dads. We're asking you to call in. Men, what challenges do you face in trying to be the father that you want to be? Women, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the great godly dad that he needs to be, that you want him to be, your kids need him to be? And likewise, if you're a listener who's struggling in your relationship with your dad, we want to hear from you and talk about healing those wounds. By the way, that call to fathers is a call to fathers of all ages and stages. So whether your kids are, you know, 2 or 82, you're still a father, and we want to help support you in that relationship. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's celebrate St. Joseph's Feast Day by supporting men in the call to be fathers after the father's own heart.
Let's talk now with Bo, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Bo. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. I think the difficulty for me was I grew up, you know, with a single mother, and my dad wasn't really around after I was probably like 10 or so. So
yeah.
Just trying to figure out how to be a man to, you know, I have three boys, so.
God bless you, okay.
A 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 10-year-old, so it's like trying to figure out how to show them how to be, like, all the failings that I've had.
Sure.
Like, growing up, like, I didn't have anybody show me how to, it's okay to have emotions and this and that.
God bless you,
brother. You know, I think.
No, this is such a terrific question. I'm so glad you had the humility to call in. You know, so in my book, Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, the first beatitude, of course, is blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Well, in the Beatitudes, I look at each of the Beatitudes through this lens, and so the first Beatitude is blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. Your call is a perfect example of that. What I mean by that is that, you know, no dad, even if you had a great dad and present in your life growing up, none of us knows what we're doing because it's all on-the-job training. And so being poor in spirit means recognizing that I have a lot to learn, and I'm open to learning, and I'm humble enough to admit those weaknesses and those struggles that I have so that both God can fill me with the grace that I need to be the man that he wants me to be, the father that he wants me to be, and other people can help coach me on that journey. And so, Bo, I want to thank you for being poor in spirit and taking your cue from the Heavenly Father in that beatitude. Responding specifically to this question, though, about how can you be more confident in your fatherhood when you didn't have a dad in your life growing up, the theology of the body can be tremendously helpful here. Having an external model, right, a role model like a dad, you know, it helps us check our math, okay? But you can still be secure in your fatherhood, and the theology of the body points out how to do this, because our fatherhood and our masculinity in general is rooted in service, all right? We become better men, more masculine men, and better fathers the more we serve the people God has placed in our life through the body he's given us. That's true for women, too, but we're talking about fathers today. So the key to being a great godly dad is not playing a role. It's not playing a caricature. It's not acting like you think a dad should act. It's really taking the time to be with your children and your wife and to listen to what they need, and to be the person that finds godly ways to meet those needs, both through your own relationship with them. So if they need you to be emotional, you be emotional. When they need you to be strong, you try to figure out how to be strong. When they tell you, I need X or Y or Z, your job is to prayerfully figure out how to make that happen. And the more you do that, the more your masculinity and the more your fatherhood naturally emerges, and the more you become confident, because being a great dad, or for that matter, being a great man, is not about playing a certain role or putting on a caricature or saying, you know, I have to live up to this external standard. It's about knowing how to be imminently present to the wife and the children that God has given you and respond to their needs. And as we respond to their needs, our masculinity and our fatherhood comes out. Now, the benefit of having a present father is that you see how that's done. You get to watch that happen in the day-to-day, so you've got sort of an external way to check your internal math. But even if that dad wasn't there, you can be an amazing, fantastic, godly father if you just clue in to what your wife and children need and prayerfully ask God for the grace to meet those needs in godly and graceful ways. The other thing on this Feast of St. Joseph that I want to turn you on to is really prayerfully turning to St. Joseph and asking for his intercession every day. St. Joseph, help me to be the loving father to my children that you were to the Son of God. And Heavenly Father, help me show your face to my wife and kids in everything I do today. I want that to be your constant prayer. Right? And constant reflection. How does the Heavenly Father want me to show his face to my children the way St. Joseph showed his face to God's Son? To help you in that reflection, I'd really encourage you to pick up as a follow-up to this call my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Because as I said earlier in the show, it reflects on each of the Beatitudes as revealing something about the fatherhood of God. And it gives Catholic men a model, a point of reflection that comes right from the mouth of Jesus Christ on how to be a father after the Father's own heart. By looking at each of the 8 Beatitudes, what it can teach us about God's fatherhood and the kind of fathers he wants us to be to our children. In fact, on the app Hallow, we have a father's retreat that goes through all 8 of those habits as well, so you can check that out there. But the book itself goes through each of those Beatitudes as a way of helping you be a father after the Father's own heart. So you can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. But the big takeaway from this, Bo, is don't be caught up in the idea that you can't be that man. You might not be as confident, but you can be that man by serving your wife and children the way they need to be served.
And I think it's so beautiful that you have such a heart for this, Bo, and that you're beginning to really be healed by God through this question. Because when you hit those moments in your fatherhood, and every single parent hits moments pretty much on the daily in their parenthood where we cannot do it. We cannot do it on our own. You have this special invitation from God that he's placing on your heart to say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know if it's because of what I went through as a kid or not, but I know I need you right now. Show me how to be the best father I can be in this situation. So you're keeping that constant open dialogue with God. And then you can also add to it, and Lord, if there's something you want to heal in me, because you didn't want me to have to grow up the way I did. You wanted me to have a great life, but, you know, people are people with free will. So I need you to know that you can heal my heart in this, that I'm inviting you into this, Lord, as you bring up this certain situation that I'm in with my kids, so that not only will you be a great dad, but you'll actually be able to be much closer to God the Father yourself and get the healing that your heart really needs.
Well, that actually speaks to the Beatitude, blessed are the dads who are meek. Now, meekness is we often think of as kind of, you know, milk toasty, you know, kind of wet noodly. That's not what meekness is. Meekness comes from the Greek word praus, which refers to a well-trained war horse, a horse that is not spooked easily in battle. So a dad who is meek faces all the terrifying stuff we have to face as heads of our families in a manner that allows God the Father to direct our every move. You know, rather than being spooked by all the stuff that goes on, we turn to God the Father and say, where do you want me to go? Lead me into battle. And that's what being a dad who is meek is. That's what Lisa's talking about, that prayerful spirit that has us be in touch with you know, be that war horse that is in touch with his rider.
And listens be like to the guidance. Joseph. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, this was, as I said at the beginning of the show, this was a man, a saint, who always had his ear, even when he was asleep, spiritually tuned to the messages of God. And we know that because it wasn't just that he heard God, but he responded promptly. He had that open
like
heart.
Like that war horse.
And exactly. And so, by all means, Bo, ask God to keep you, you know, moving toward the healing you need while you build the relationship with your kids that will reflect God, the Father's love to them.
Beautiful question. Thanks so much for the call. And again, you know, both of those Beatitudes I just talked about are in the book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about being the godly dad that we are all called to be.
Let's talk now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. My question is, what should I do as a father when I've, you know, done something wrong to my kids? Like, for example, to my son. I said something hurtful to him.
How old's your son, Joe?
He's 21 now.
Mm. Okay. And so you said something hurtful to him recently or in the past or what?
Yeah, it's been the last, I think, probably 2 years. It was basically regarding, you know, church. Sometimes he doesn't want to go with us and... Mm-hmm. I was kind of lose my temper and, you know, say something.
So where's your relationship with your son now? Like, what kind of time do you spend together? How's it go?
Well, he's off in college. You know, he's 3 hours away right now. We talk maybe, you know, once a week right now in college. It's a pretty good relationship, but, you know, this is always in the back of my mind.
Have you apologized to him for what you said in this specific instance, or are you just talking about in general how to handle these kinds of things?
For this last incident, I have not apologized, but we did talk through it. But
is there, and tell me, is there a reason that you haven't apologized for it, since you seem to have such regrets about it?
No, I guess just after an incident, we just kind of talked about it, but I didn't actually, you know, apologize to him for it.
All right, so let's talk about this. So that's where I would... In general, all right, anytime we mess up as dads, and we all mess up as dads, you know, because, like I said, it's on-the-job training, and all of us are trying to figure it out, you know. And when we say things that we wish we hadn't or do things that we wish we hadn't, it's always important to come back to our kids and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. You know, I really do try my best, but sometimes I mess up, and I love you with all my heart, and I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. I love you with all my heart, and I shouldn't have treated you that way. You deserve better from me. It's okay to say, look, you know, here's the thing. When you did thus and such, kid, I was really upset, and I didn't know how to handle it. And I'd like to talk about how we could work together on that. Now, you can have this conversation with your kid, whether they're, you know, 6 or 60. You know, and it's actually a great conversation to have, to say, look, you know, when you spoke to me that way, it really pushed my buttons, and I didn't know how to respond, and so I lashed out at you. You know, when you wouldn't go to church with us, it really hurt me, because I love God so much, and I want to give that to you, and it frustrated me so much that I didn't know how to do it, and I lashed out at you. Can we talk about how to handle those situations better in the future? You know, the next time you feel upset with me and you want to be disrespectful, let's talk about how you can approach me in a way that would work. Or let me tell you how I'd like to, you know, the next time you approach me disrespectfully, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, listen, I don't appreciate it when you speak to me that way, but could you say it again in a more respectful tone and we can talk through it, because I really want to hear what you're trying to say. Or the next time you say, you know, you don't feel like going to church, you know, how can we have that conversation so that it's actually productive and we can really both get out what we need to say to each other. So when you apologize, it's not just, oh, I'm such a terrible dad, I'm so sorry I screwed up. It's not that.
It's also not selling out your values, which is very, very important. Yeah. You know, it's not that you're backtracking on what your values are or what you want for your child's life. But it is about how it's delivered.
That's right. And so it's about being able to go back and acknowledge that you're not perfect and you don't pretend to be. You can acknowledge your intention, but then you have that conversation about how could we handle these things better as father and son or father and daughter, father and family, the next time these things come up. This beatitude, by the way, that I'm referring to is blessed are the dads who are merciful. This really goes to the heart of mercy, where being merciful doesn't just mean being indulgent to other people. What it means is really working to show them what they are worth in God's eyes. When we are merciful, we see what we are worth in God's eyes, and we try to communicate to others what they are worth in God's eyes. And being able to go to them and say, I am sorry, you know, for what I did. You deserved better from me, and you also deserve better from yourself. Let's work together to make that happen for both of us. That's really the heart of that beatitude, blessed are the dads who are merciful, that I talk about in the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad.
And Greg, I want to throw out there, because I did notice that you were mentioning the Halo app earlier, but you said it so quickly that I'm not sure everybody caught what it was, or how to get it.
There's a great Catholic spirituality app called Halo, H-A-L-L-O-W, if you don't know. I worked with them to create a virtual retreat for fathers that's available on that app that's based on the book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. So if you're interested in going through that, you can check that out. But Joe, thank you so much for the call. And again, you know, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit, who have that humility to be able to say, you know, I'm not always perfect, and I do mess up, and I'd really like to figure out a better way to handle those situations with my kids. And Joe, thank you for stepping up and really being willing to receive that help and that support today. And I hope that you were able to take some things from the call, and I hope that the book, The Beatitudes, will be helpful to you as well. 877-573-7825. We have to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 103, verse 13.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I think we need to unpack the word fear him, though, just a little bit here, because people hear Father God and fear, and they have a lot of reactions. But we're talking about here, and Scripture's talking about people who honor God.
Well, awe and respect.
Exactly, a deep awe for him.
And so, again, it highlights the importance that for Christian fathers to show the face of the Heavenly Father to our kids. Because as we are compassionate with our children learn that God the Father is compassionate with them. Important reminder from Psalm 103, verse 13. We've got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on this Feast of St. Joseph about being a great dad. If you are a dad who wants to be better in your role, if you're a mom who wants to help the father of your children be the godly man he's called to be, or if you're looking to heal those wounds with your own father, let's talk it out. 877.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, who would like to dedicate this day in remembrance of Teresa Tomeo's mother, Rosie. Teresa fondly remembers that Rosie was the first one to instill in her the importance of putting God first and to endure through suffering, as she would often recite her now famous words, offer it up to God, put it at the foot of the cross. Rosie would also like to say that no matter what, keep smiling and never forget the Blessed Mother is watching.
Welcome to Educating for Eternity. Catholic education is the only education that helps form the person to understand his sublime dignity and the eternal joy that awaits him. Here is Father Gabriel Richard High School English teacher Mary Lawrence.
Catholic education has the unique ability to focus on the good of the individual rather than on the creation of productive members of society. In literature courses, we can study the art of words and phrases as well as their moral value. When we study literature as Catholics, we can help form the souls of our students and orient them towards the contemplation of God through reflections on His beauty, truth, and goodness in that which we study.
Educating for Eternity is presented by the faculty of Father Gabriel Richard High School. Learn more about the intellectual and spiritual benefits of a Father Gabriel Richard High School education at fgrhs.org. That's fgrhs.org.
Clean water is something we often take for granted. Turn on a faucet and out pours clean water that's safe for drinking. But that's not true in countries like Kenya, where the number one cause of child mortality is from drinking contaminated water. Together, we can change that. Cross Catholic Outreach works with local Catholic partners around the world to transform the lives of families living in poverty. You can join this mission at crosscatholic.org/bless. That's crosscatholic.org/bless.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph today by looking at fatherhood and unpacking principles from my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, which looks at how the Beatitudes reveal important lessons about the fatherhood of God and help us, as Catholic men, become fathers after the Father's own heart. That's the Beatitudes. Let's take our next call. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Peter, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys? Just want to share a few thoughts I had. The way I've looked at fatherhood, I have 3 children. It's almost as if I'm attending a university, fatherhood university. And
yep.
God is,
right? It's, you know, well said.
Constantly. Yeah, he's constantly providing opportunities for me to learn about how I am with him, my father in heaven. Mm-hmm. With every single interaction with my children and wife, you know, when they don't listen and I'm trying to protect them and they reject me, or, you know, all these ins and outs of life, I go, wow, I do this to God all the time. So it's an opportunity to reflect on myself as the child of God. And
yeah, parenting is a real spiritual exercise. It really is.
Yeah, and then some obstacles that I faced. One is certainly the hooks of the world, you know, that I have to allow the grace of God to work through and to let go of. This constant battle. I think of St. Paul saying, pray without ceasing, which I really have come to understand just means, always be aware of God. Carry him with you always and all your thoughts and what you're doing, because the temptations are out there and they're there to get you.
Yeah, just as St. Joseph did. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then my final little piece is the, I was reflecting the other day about, you know, Mary having her heart pierced and St. Joseph also having his heart, sword pierce his own heart.
Sure.
And soul. When, you know, he's not allowed to be there. He's not allowed to control everything that happens. You know, he's not allowed to save everybody. He's not allowed to. So what does he do, and what does Mary do? They offer up this suffering. So as family, as fathers, as much as we want to, you know, we want our kids to go to Mass, and we want them to be polite, and we want them to be virtuous. Ultimately, you know, God created free beings here, and, you know, it's obviously far greater for a free being to do these things than to force them. So we have to learn to love as God loves and allow our children to be free. We guide them, we pray for them, and ultimately we can use this redemptive suffering that we go through when they don't do the right thing, right? When our hearts are pierced with the sword, we use that, we unite it to Christ on the cross for the salvation
and
the souls of them and others.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, spot on about everything you're saying. And I want to add one other thing, though. You know, when we don't have control, you're right about that. But when we sort of study, if you will, in this fatherhood university you're talking about, when we study the way God the Father reaches out to us, he doesn't control us, right? He respects our free will imminently. How does he deal with us when we fall away or disappoint him or are confused and lost in the path? He builds relationship. He doesn't control us. He draws us closer to him. He comes closer to us. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He runs to meet us on the road, right? He sends his own son to lead us, right? He builds relationship. And so the power that we have with our children to honor their free will is to build relationship, which makes them turn their hearts to us and makes them want to do what we ask them to do, or makes them want to follow our guidance because they see how much we love them. As fathers, it's important to not just assume that our kids know that we love them. We've got to demonstrate that. And we've got to build the kind of relationship that allows that love and connection to flourish so that our kids turn their hearts to us and we can turn their hearts to God. We talk about all of that more in the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, which unpacks how each beatitude reveals something about the fatherhood of God and teaches us to be fathers after the Father's own heart. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. That's the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. While you're there, check out all the other resources we have to support you in your journey to be a faithful, godly man at CatholicCounselors.com. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you.
To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.